Hello, radio friends. Welcome to a Back to the Bible radio broadcast, an outreach ministry of the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church. My name is Pastor Philip Youngblood, and we want to thank you for tuning in today, and we pray that the broadcast is a blessing to you as you listen. I began a message yesterday on Romans chapter number 1, where we were talking about when God says that's enough. And so we're going to be focusing today on Romans chapter number 1, and I want to read to you what the Bible says out of verse number 21. The Bible says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." We're going to go to a live recording from the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church, where we are looking at Daniel chapter number 5 and then also Romans chapter number 1. And I hope it be a blessing to you as we continue the message today. When we live our lives in sin and not surrender them to God, there's a time when God says that's enough. God's not going to put up with your sin forever. God's not going to put up with your habitual sin. Now, every one of us sin on a daily basis, but God's not going to put up with your habitual sin. At some point, God's going to say, that's enough. I remember Dr. Percy Ray saying one time, he said he got to a place in his relationship where God, and God absolutely turned the flow off. He said, I'd get up and preach, and he said, I would do it out of duty, and he said, I'd get up to preach, and he said, almost just like, he said, the people was wondering what happened to Percy Ray, why he can't preach no more, why can't he preach no, he don't have no power no more, what's wrong with Percy Ray? They said, dear God, he said, if you'll turn the power back on, he said, oh God, he said, I'll get back in that pulpit, and just to be able to preach with power once again, he said, God, I'll never go back to that place again. He said, it wasn't long that God turned the power back on. I don't have the ability. Look here. I don't have the ability this morning to control the unction of God. I don't have that ability. But I can sure grieve the Holy Ghost. And I can sure cause God not to show up. I can sure by my actions cause God to say, that's enough. I'm not going no more. And I don't want it to happen to Hooper's Creek. Have you ever tried, let me say this to you. Have you ever tried to help somebody? Maybe somebody's going through something. You ever tried to help them? And I mean, you know the answer. Like for instance, maybe it's a flat tire. You say, listen, you need to get the jack securely underneath the jack point. And you know, and you're instructed them. And the whole time, they're like, I don't need a jack. You need to put some safeguards on this, that, and the other. I don't need that. I'm good. And finally, you get to the place where you say, look, man, if you don't get this jack securely underneath the vehicle, and it falls, you're going to get hurt. You could get killed. You may never be the same. You can lose an arm. You can lose a limb if you don't get it securely placed underneath the vehicle. And they just ignore you. There's going to be a time where you say, I can't help you. And you just leave them with it. And whatever happens at that moment, it happens because they're a fool. The Bible says a fool will not heir to instruction. Won't heed to instruction. I love what Brother Todd Bell said the other day. Brother Todd Bell said he gets up every morning and he prays for three things. He said, I pray for wisdom, that God gives me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. That's what the Word of God said. The Bible said this, fear God. Well, this is the beginning of knowledge, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? And so if we're going to have godly wisdom, if we're going to have knowledge about a subject. I tell you, why you think about the Jews and what God's done with the Jews and diesel motors and all kinds of different things that God has allowed to be placed in the. Somebody had to come up with that. God give it to them. Amen. God give it to them. God allowed them to have that type of knowledge. Knowledge is no good without wisdom. And wisdom's no good without understanding. If you don't understand it, you're not going to be helped. This is what I see today. I see the man of God get up and preach it. I see somebody open the Bible. I see a parent trying to instruct a young'un, and this is what they do. I don't want to hear it. And they just keep going down that same pathway. They keep doing the same thing over and over again. I see adults doing the same thing, knowing that the Word of God said, don't do this. Knowing the Word of God said, hey, walk away from that. No, resist evil and flee from temptation. You've got it, the Bible. It's all there. But you keep going to that place. God's about to say, that's enough. I'm going to take you this morning over there to the book of Daniel, chapter number 5. I want to tell you what's happening in Daniel. Remember this, their foolish heart was what?
darkened. How do you become a fool? The Bible said the fool said in his heart, there is no. Can I tell you something this morning? If you're struggling whether God's real or not, Brother Ted, I wouldn't dare call you this. Miss Lisa, I wouldn't dare call you this. I wouldn't dare call you this. But the Bible said you're a fool. And the reason why that the Bible said that you're a fool is because you're having to do this. You're having to take what you know about the universe, and you're having to take what you know about the sun, and you're having to take what you know about the stars, and you're having to take what you know about the streams and the mountains and all of those things. You're having to take all of those things and say, nope, no, there ain't no way that God did that. The fool said in his heart, there's so many different things. Now, let me ask you a question. The other night we was down at revival. The guy got up and said, I've got stage 4 cancer. God healed me. That's impossible. Amen? That old boy over there, man, at the Pilgrim's Pathway, I nudged him and said, hey, that's impossible. We got on down there and had somebody else stood up in the back and said, you know, I tell you, before I started church, he said, I worked a hard job and this, that, and the other, and I just never could get along. I never could get anything to happen. But he said, but I got saved with the grace of God. I got in church, and God began to do some things, and I began to ask God to help me in that job category. And he said, I just want to report to you. God give me a best paying job that I've never had. I said, that's impossible. That man said, he stood up, and I don't mean no disrespect here. He said, I can't read or write. That's what the man said. He said, I can't read or write. He got the best paying job he's ever had in his life. How can that be? God did that, amen. Now you got to come up with an answer for all of these miracles. You say, well, God's not doing it in our day. What? Praise God, he just did it.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you something about Sawyer. When Sawyer was a baby, I remember I was here that night. We all got up in the choir, and we began to pray that God would touch him and that God would put an anointing upon him, that God would help him come out of that situation and the medical place that he was in. And I'm going to tell you something. He's standing here today telling you that God saved him. Amen. That's a miracle by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Don't tell me there's not a God. I'm going to tell you something, there is. I know him. Thank God he knows me. Amen. But he's also a God of judgment. I'm going to say something to you this morning. When God deals with somebody, he'll deal with you so long. And the reason why that he deals with you, so, Brother Landon, the reason why that God deals with a person so long is because of grace and mercy. And God's trying to get you to see what you need. He's trying to allow you to be informed. He's trying to allow you to develop a mind for the things of God, an attraction to the things of God. But there's a place there that you can take that grace too far, and God says that's enough. Can I tell you something? Don't be playing with God. Because you're talking about the one who's holding your eternity in the palm of his hands. And you're also looking at one who gives you everything that you could possibly have to get into the glory world free of charge based upon the blood of Calvary. He did that so that you could get in. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm not going to go in. I ain't even going to read it. I'm going to tell you the story. Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. I like what Billy Kelly said right here. Y'all like Billy Kelly? He said this was the shindigger's last shenanigan. Y'all know Billy Kelly. What a blessing. He had a way of putting things, didn't he? The shindigger's last shenanigan. Old Belshazzar, he is the son of King Nebuchadnezzar. They say he could be the son or the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, and they weren't sure. No matter what, Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. And so therefore, Belshazzar, inherited by the death of Nebuchadnezzar, he inherited the position of the king of Babylon. Belshazzar had it all. When it come to affluence, when it came to riches, when it came to all those things, he had the Maserati, he had the Ferrari, he had you name it. He had a golden toilet. I don't know if he did, but maybe. In our day, he would have. Y'all understand what I'm saying? He had the man LED, SLD, whatever, you know. The fanciest truck, whatever it was, he had it all. And this is what happened, though. Him and his buddies had a big party. I'm summing you up, chapter 5. Him and his buddies had a big party one night. He got in that party, and they got to drinking. Can I tell you that drinking's wrong in the Word of God then, and it's wrong today? Daddies, I'm going to tell you something. There's a special place for you in the judgment if you've got alcohol in your refrigerator and your kid has to watch you drink the beer.
Amen, brother.
Because you introduced it to him.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Amen. Look here, man. I'm going to tell you something. Look, you go over to the book of Proverbs. Very clear. There's a time when there's just wine on the vine. And there's a time when it moves itself aright. That's fermentation. Amen. Hello. You say, you're on the radio. I know I'm on the radio. And I'm going to tell you something. Asheville, North Carolina has become the beer city.
That's right.
Already titled the homosexual city. That's the beer city. Right. I mean, like worse goes worse, right? Darkened hearts. Foolish hearts became darkened. So they got in that big old shindig at night. And they was probably dancing and partying and hooping and hollering, having the best time of their lives. But in the middle of that party, old Belshazzar, boy, he probably slept drunk out of his brain. He said, I tell you what we need to do. Let's go get the holy vessels. Let's drink out of them things. Now, I'm talking about vessels that was in the tabernacle. Been sanctified. I'm talking about stuff that, man, had been, there were holy vessels. Nebuchadnezzar got them. They said, we got some drinking cups. They went up there and they got that man and them vessels. They began to have their big party, and they had it all set out there. And this is what happened, man. They started drinking that wine out of them holy vessels. I believe, man, one of them twitched good and said, oh, I don't know about this. And about that time, man, they poured that old nasty, old rotten, fermented mess. Hello, that ain't a type of Jesus. Somebody said that Jesus turned the water into wine. He didn't turn it into no rotten state. It might have been like that freshly squeezed grape off the vine, but it wasn't ever fermented, hallelujah. Amen. He said, well, the Bible says that Jesus turned the water into wine. Yeah, I know he did. He used water to do it. It wasn't processed over time either. And it was the best stuff I'd ever tasted. It wasn't rotten. It wasn't fermented. It was good. Amen, preacher. What you're trying to do right there, you're trying to justify your sin. I think it's the best stuff I ever tasted. Pure, I mean, better than Welch's grape juice. 100% non-alcohol free. Amen. Well, look, you got to ask yourself this question. Hang in here with me for just a second. You got to ask yourself, why would God say that wine is a mocker in the book of Proverbs and then say it's okay in the New Testament? If it's wrong in Proverbs, it's also wrong in the New Testament. And Jesus would have never turned his stuff into sin. Hello, no. They had that stuff over there. It's getting uncomfortable, ain't it? I just felt a wave. Just somebody got the man twitches in the middle of that holy vessel. And they said, I don't know if we ought to be doing this. About that time, man, a big handwriting hand came down and began to write on the wall. Meanie, tekel, Yepharsin. They looked at that writing on the wall. I believe they set them golden vessels down. They pushed that alcohol away. And they said, what's that mean? Can I tell you something? If you're in a darkened state, a fool's heart is darkened, you'll never be able to read the Word of God and understand it. Y'all listen to me? There's a man who'd spent some time with God. There's a man that knew something about it. Old Belshazzar, he called all of his wise men. He called all of his astrologers. I said, I don't know what that says. That's what the world does. You remember, our young people's got science books, and the teacher over there don't even know who God is. How in the world are you going to instruct somebody if you don't know where it all came from?
That's right, brother.
That don't make any sense, friend, I'm telling you. That's why they're so confused. They can't figure it out. They said, well, I don't know what that means. Well, it don't look like it's good. I mean, some hand wrote it on the wall. Don't look like it's good. Old Daniel walked in there and he said, hey, can I sum it up for you? God said, that's enough.
Thank you for tuning in to another Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We would like to invite you to come out and be a part of our church. We are located at 71 Hoopers Creek Church Road. That's in Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. If you'd like to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 1856, Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. Also, check us out on the World Wide Web at hooperscreekbaptist.com or download our church app where you can get the verse of the day and enjoy some great preaching and singing from our choir. Have a great day. Tune in tomorrow for another Back to the Bible radio broadcast.